soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, head over to 2775 Pondren for the best in modern contemporary furniture. Danish Inspirations should be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. DanishInspirations.com. That's where you see the wide selection, the stressless line, my house full of Danish Inspirations modern contemporary furniture. It is the best in modern contemporary furniture, and it is presented by the great Dane himself, Jan Christensen. DanishInspirations.com, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and a look weekly into the Danish Dynamite segment with Jan as well, so be on the lookout for that. All right. Brad Smith, Houston Dynamo defender, has made his way back now and has been playing more after coming off a very severe ACL injury. A lot of little-known facts about Brad Smith. We played this interview last week, but I want to re-air it this week. Brad Smith, Houston Dynamo defender, and by the way, former member of Liverpool. We have seen him back in the fold as of late. He is Dynamo outside back, Brad Smith. He joins us now. Brad, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Well, before we get into some of the other things going on currently with the Dynamo, I do want to take you back to your time at Liverpool and such an illustrious club because, you know, we have a huge Liverpool supporters group here in Houston and around the U.S. Just maybe take us into a little bit of your time there.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Australia. I'm a son for Liverpool at 14 years old. In the academy system, my parents just took a chance on me and, you know, moved from Australia, sold the house and job and went over there to try and follow my career and started at 14 and basically went year by year and kept going up and, you know, going through the youth system there. It's a great youth system. And then slowly stepping through the under 18s to the reserves and then to the first team and broke through for a couple of seasons, which was, you know, an amazing thing to do, not only play for Liverpool, but just to be a part of such a big club and, you know, play in the best league in the world and get some great experience out there. And it was a really proud thing for me and my family. And, you know, just to experience that was massive.
Did your parents accompany you at 14 over to England or did you go on your own?
Yeah, they came with me. They sold everything, came over, and my brother came with me as well. So it was a big,
wow,
big step for all three of them. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for them for believing in me and doing that.
What a fantastic story. 2013, you debut against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Take me back to your feeling when you ran on the field at Stamford Bridge. Quite a team to make a debut against Chelsea.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. You know, usually you get thrown in a cup game and, you know, when you're in a team like that to just kind of build you up. Or, you know, if you're winning a game comfortably, you usually get thrown in and get a debut there. But to get it 2-1 down at Stamford Bridge, to come in at left wing, I think I was 19 years old at the time, was, you know, it was an amazing thing, but honestly, it was crazy. You know, just coming into that level of football at that age and that time of the game at Chelsea away. So it was, you know, it was the greatest moment of my career to make my debut for Liverpool, but it was definitely tough and it was eye-opening to real football there.
How about the lore of Liverpool? I mean, the pictures, the history, Dalglish, going all the way, Fagan, going all the way back to all these names and everything. As a young kid, I'm assuming at 14, you get inundated with that right away when you're there.
Yeah, you know, the club is so historical and it's one of the best clubs, I'd say, to play for. With the fan base is absolutely incredible. They got fans all around the world and they were great with me even going through the academy system and stuff. You know, they'd see you on the street, they'd recognize you at that level. So then when you go and play with the first team, it's crazy. They live and breathe football out there. So yeah, it's a great historical club and it's amazing to be a part of.
He's Brad Smith. He's represented Australia as well. We'll get into that. Debuted at Liverpool in 2013 as a teenager. Then he went to Swindon, Bournemouth. It seemed to really come together, though, if I'm correct here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but 2016 to 2020, I mean, all I envision is you rampaging up and down the left side for one of the most successful teams in the history of MLS, the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, you know, it's very difficult, like I said before, to make it over there, and there's a lot of, you know, players coming and going and stuff like that. So I transferred to Bournemouth, you know, a step away from Liverpool, and still in the Premier League, and didn't probably go as well as I'd wanted to, and didn't really get the chances. You know, I played a little bit here and there, but didn't kind of break in and get the starting role or anything. So then went on loan a couple of times and came out to America, not knowing, you know, what it would be like or anything. And I fell in love with it. You know, we were really successful. We won the league. So I went back on loan to Cardiff, back in England. And then I decided that, you know, I loved America and I wanted to come back out and stay in America. So I signed out here permanently and, you know, it's been successful. So far we were great at Seattle. We won the MLS Cup. So yeah, happy to be back in America.
You know, I look at people's careers and I even think about my own, right? I mean, timing, being in the right place at the right time, getting an opportunity when you think you deserve it, or being ready for that opportunity. That's no different in football, right? I mean, you got to get a break too.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd tell any youngster or anyone coming through, you know, I'm 29 now, I've kind of experienced a lot of things. So I would tell anyone coming through that, you know, you need to be patient and not get your head down and stuff like that, because football is about timing. You never know when you're going to get your chance, and good or bad, it's a lot of it is up to timing, and you got to be ready and you got to work hard and stay ready. And, you know, you never know when it's going to come.
So you knew I was going to ask you about this at some point, because an ACL injury is a very serious thing for any athlete. I've had knee problems myself. So let's talk about your knee. Where is it now? Is it in a place where you're fully confident with it, mentally and physically?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. You know, I've had this injury when I was 18, 19. So I've had it a long time ago, you know, and then I'd done it last year again. And when you're a bit older, it's a bit harder to come back from as quick. But I think now I'm in a good place. I'm starting to get my form back and stuff like that. I think when, you know, I got kind of not rushed back, but I wanted to come back quickly and so did the team. So I think coming back into it, I really wasn't myself to start with. But now I can say I'm really confident in it. It's feeling good and I'm not really having those niggly problems after games and training anymore. So I'm starting to feel like more like myself and I'm getting confidence back, because it's a long time out. Anyone who's had knee problems, it's a long time away from the game and it's a very lonely place. So coming back and getting some confidence, I think you can see from my performance in the last few games, I'm starting to feel more like myself out there.
You know, I always hear, you know, injuries are a lonely place. I'm glad you brought that up, because I do ask this question a lot to people coming back. It's such a mental thing. And my experience with it is I always felt like I was still a bit of an outsider, because you don't fully feel a part of the team, no matter all the nice things everybody says, unless you're out there playing and contributing. Maybe you don't feel a full Monty when it comes to being a part of the team. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, 100%. Like exactly like you said, you don't feel a part of it, even though you grind every day. But what I would say is that if someone ever goes through this, you know, it's their first time, I'd say speak to someone who's been through it previously, because, you know, the guys who have done their ACL would be happy with me, especially. They're happy to speak to anyone who, you know, was to go through it, because it's probably the longest injury you can be out with. It's the most daunting one that people don't want to have and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, you should speak to someone and get a bit of insight to it, because it's a long process and it is lonely. But, yeah, you definitely don't feel a part of the team as much as you try, and they involve you and, you know, they try and bring you in and all the stuff. It's just not the same until you're back out there.
He's Brad Smith. He's represented Australia 23 times as well. Professional debut was with Liverpool. I mean, amazing stuff here. You know, before coming to MLS, did anybody ever suggest playing in the A-League in Australia? And maybe your thoughts on that league?
You know what, I never, because I left at 14, I never really, I wasn't in the right system to go through to the A-League at that point. So, you know, going abroad and doing that was better for me, and it worked out. And I've had like options to go back to the A-League in between, you know, contracts and stuff like that. But I don't think it's right for me to go there. Yeah, you know, MLS is a great league and it's only growing, and I want to stay here and grow with the league, because as you see, like Lionel Messi and stuff that are coming out here, it's a massive league now. It's only growing bigger and bigger, and I want to be a part of this league for as long as I can.
Brad Smith joining us, Houston Dynamo defender. Remember, it's the Columbus Crew on Wednesday night. You'll hear it right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll start the pregame show a half hour before. All right, Brad, you come off the bench against Portland. I see it's like a bolt of lightning. I see this streaking guy, and I see Steve Clark hit this ball on a dime, and it's a driven ball. You take it perfectly off your chest and then sail it into the upper corner. That's the word I used. Just take us through that goal, because I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, it's not super common for me to be up there, but you know, the way that the team wants to play and wants me to play is, you know, up higher. And I think the way Amin was in the pocket at the time, he was drawing the striker to him, and then, or maybe it was Corey, or both of them. And then I just saw a gap, and me and Steve basically, like, we're good friends, and we made eye contact together, and he kind of just hit it, and it was absolutely perfect. And, you know, the rest was amazing, and it's cool to be a part of it. And, you know, that moment there is massive for me personally, just to get a bit of confidence and feeling back. And, you know, the guys were so happy for me. Really nice to see, you know, coming off a long ACL injury and do something like that. It was really special for me.
Now, you elected to shoot kind of early. I mean, you could have continued on with that. You must have saw something.
Yeah, well, I saw the keeper coming a bit. Also, the guy behind me, I was worried about if I try and get it back on my left foot, which is my strong foot, he might be able to get a touch on either me. You know, the game, it's 4-0. The game, he could easily just, you know, take a red card and he wouldn't get the opportunity. And he was bouncing up, and I just thought, just try and not smash it as hard as I can, but just try and caress it, you know, on that side of the goal. And it was perfect.
It was a thing of beauty. And by the way, I'll say that I'll put this out to my listeners too. Why can't this goal be up for goal of the year? I mean, why not? Right?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, it's spectacular. I mean, it was an eye-popping moment, and it's not one you often see. The run, the ball, the timing, the finish, it was all there. All right. For you now, feeling better now, this stretch, you know, many people put a circle around the left back position, and, you know, we need Brad Smith to come through this injury. He's naturally left footed. I looked at the last game at RSL and I saw more width simply because the natural left foot of Brad Smith and then the natural right foot of Aliyu. And it seemed like you guys widened the game out a little bit, which created some space against Real Salt Lake. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of what we were going for with the game. And, you know, starting to get back to form, I think I'll, you know, be able to come in and help the team a bit more. And that's my natural position. That's what they brought me in to kind of do. And you see, you know, it's different. You have Nelson out there, he's right-footed, or, you know, I'm out there with my left, and you can see with the first goal with Corey, we had a good understanding of, you know, once I'm able to overlap and get the ball. We spoke about it before, and it was actually cool that it came to fruition that I wanted him to be there. And you see his run, he goes near post, and then he goes far post, and he gets the goal. And I think that's what has the ability to be able to, you know, have a left-footed player out there opposed to a right-footer where, you know, Nelson comes in and shoots and stuff like that, but having a left-footer to be able to cross the ball and be on the defense definitely helps. And that's my game. That's what they brought me in to do. So, yeah, trying my best and help the team up.
Yeah, it was a great cross to Corey Baird. He kind of feigned the run in front of the defender and then pulled off behind him. And then you hit in a perfect ball to him that he gets to tap in. It's a goal and an assist for Brad Smith coming off injury. 9 appearances, had that assist against RSL, had the goal against Portland. So it's been a good couple of games for Brad Smith here, getting on the score sheet, setting people up. You know, when you play with an inverted winger like Nelson Quiñones, how does your role as a left back change?
I think you're able to exploit that space even more on the outside because they're so afraid of him going on the inside on his strong foot that they're worried about, you know, going around him on the left side. So they kind of don't really have a an answer for it. And especially with, you know, RSL, their winger Savarino, he was just cheating the whole time. So it was basically, if I was able to put the work in to come back, I was going to be able to get past him on the offensive side. So as long as I was willing to run back after the play, then we were fine, right? So it definitely helps, you know, having a winger that runs inside to be able to overlap for sure.
Do you get as many transitional moments, or is it more coming late than when you have an inverted winger? In other words, you know, it is a narrower game. It is designed for you to get forward. But is a lot of the times you get forward maybe a little bit from a later perspective as everybody kind of funnels inside and opens that space up for you?
Yeah, for sure. Because at the, you know, coming in later is more, it's more just the pure effort of a run. You know, if you want to beat your winger to chase you back, then that's just pure heart and effort. So it's better to come late, you know, and then to be up there in the first place. That's more of like link play, but you know, the late run is definitely more effective for me personally as well.
Dynamo defender Brad Smith. All right, so you told me about, well, you used the word lonely a little bit earlier in this interview, but I think the outside back position, guys playing in these wide areas, I just think it's an incredibly difficult job. Number one, you got to be peak fitness. Number two, a lot of times you're isolated out there and it's basically you looking at another guy in a lot of instances during games. I know there's a lot of overloads and everything now, but how much of a mental game is it? And just saying, you know, that I'm not going to be worn down by you, because you do come against guys that are equally athletic as you.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely first and foremost, it's a fitness thing. It's probably the fullback or wingback is probably the hardest position. I think I'm a bit biased, but I think it's physically the hardest, you know, to be up the field and then back to defend. And like you said, against like the best players in the league, kind of out on the wing as well. So it's definitely tricky and different opponents pose different threats. But I think if you're just like want to outwork your opponent more, I think you can get the better of them. And it is lonely out there sometimes, but a lot of the play now, you know, you've got like Amin and Nelson and stuff. They want to like link the play. And I think what we have is a really good core through the midfield, and that helps the fullbacks be able to, you know, if they don't have that overload or overlap run, you can come back and, you know, you can find the midfielders and then they can switch to the other side. So definitely helps with the team we've got.
Brad, the toughest guy you've ever played out against one-on-one wide?
I mean, it'd probably have to be my debut against Chelsea. Eden Hazard, when he was a peak form. He was scary when he was at Chelsea in the Premier League, and, you know, what a play when he was over there, and I'd have to say him for sure. In this league, probably nevertheless, probably Carlos Vela. When I was at Seattle, I played him a bunch. We had some good battles, and you know, I think he was that season that we won MLS Cup. They were incredible, and I'd say probably Carlos Vela in this league, sure.
Columbus comes in with a good one, and Julian Gressel, very good crosser of the ball. I mean, I'm not a genius here, but I'm thinking you probably want to cut his delivery out as much as possible in this game Wednesday night. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. And he's a good mate of mine as well. I played with him at DC for a year. So, you know, it's always better when you come up against your friend, you know. You kind of want to beat them even more when you come up against your friends. It's like your brother almost that you want to, you know, get the better of. It's that competition is there. So, yeah, but Julian's a great, great player and a great cross with the ball. So, yeah, we definitely need to close him down, make sure he doesn't get balls in the box.
He's Brad Smith, Houston Dynamo. Dynamo in action against the Columbus Crew this coming Wednesday. All right, September 27th, the Dynamo and the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final against Inter Miami and Lionel Messi. And I know the league is more than Lionel Messi, but there certainly is an amazing spotlight on him and what he's doing for everybody involved. I'm sitting here thinking Brad Smith wants to be in the team that day on September 27th against Messi.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, he's not only doing things for Miami, he's doing things for the league, and he's the greatest player to ever play the game. And, you know, we get to face up against him. We just need to make sure that, you know, he's not like the spotlight of what's going on. We need to make sure we play our game. And I fully think we're able to win this final. We close him down, we play the way we want to play. And I think we have a great chance to go out there and do something special with this club. And it'd be great to, you know, have something like that for the club and for the fans to bring back. And I think we can go out there and get it done.
You know, what's the thought process in the locker room? You guys talk a lot about your league and are concerned about your league and happy about your league and where it's going. And you have a vested interest. This is your career. How much talk is about Messi? How much has it lifted? Maybe even the fact that you haven't played Inter Miami. How much has it lifted everything that's going on in a Houston Dynamo locker room? Maybe.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's more than just in here. It's everywhere. Like, we speak to people on the road, you know, in elevators and stuff. And there's an example from RSL. This guy didn't know anything about soccer or anything, and he didn't know who we were playing or who we played for or anything. But he mentioned that his team, Nashville or something, played Messi the other day. And it's just, you know, to see stuff like that is crazy, where they don't know anything about soccer, but they know that the greatest player in the world is here. And I think just for that is, it's got everyone talking, and, you know, it's a cool thing for the league. And as I said before, the league's growing, and it's a great thing for the league to continue growing and have players like that.
Yeah, were you pretty, you know, you guys are privy to a lot of information. It kind of flows. And when you heard this was going to be reality, I mean, do you just kind of pinch yourself and just go, you know, like, the most noted athlete in the world is about to drop in our league, and there's all these other things that we don't even know that's going to occur? Like, all of a sudden now, look, more people know about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup simply because Lionel Messi's in it and got his team to the final.
Yeah, you know, there was rumors about him coming for so long, and as players, we're always talking about it, and I don't think any of us actually thought it was going to happen until, you know, they kind of moved on with the talks and stuff, and then even more people started talking about it. It's, like I said before, it's just great. It's great to have him here. It's great for the league, and it's great for the Open Cup to be more out there, and just all the competitions in general, League's Cup. It's just a great thing.
Brad, do you know some of the great Australian bands like Men at Work or Midnight Oil? Do you know them?
I love Men at Work, especially the Down Under song. It's a classic. It's on my playlist for the game day, and gets played a lot in my household for sure. I've got to teach my English sons the Aussie way and stuff like that, so it gets down and gets played at our house.
I like the fact that you listen to the classics, because that song, by the way, came out when I was in college. That first album they did was unbelievable. Song to song, every single, well, do we even call it an album anymore? What do we call it?
I don't even know anymore.
I think musicians still call it albums, even though they're not albums. But did you ever hear a Midnight Oil? Remember the guy, the singer for that band? He was this big, tall guy.
I know the name of the band. I'm just not quite familiar with the song. So
Beds Are Burning was their hit song.
Okay.
In fact, since we're pre-taping this, I'm going to play probably Beds Are Burning at the beginning and then Men at Work on the way out for you. All right?
I love that.
All right. Brad, listen, thank you for your time. A real pleasure getting to talk with you today, and I know my listeners will enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us, guys.
All right, so that was Brad Smith. Some really, really interesting stuff there from the Houston Dynamo defender. I don't know why his goal isn't up for goal of the year. Maybe it will be. Long ball from Steve Clark, hit on a dime, takes it off his chest, and whips it into the upper corner on a full sprint. Spectacular goal from him. All right, stay with us on Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, committed to working for you 24/7. Give them a call at 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. They're bilingual. They'll handle your case. They'll work 24/7, nights and weekends for you. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. Maybe it's maritime. These are tough times, not comfortable. You need to access the best. You access the Daspit Law Firm. Few things are worse than severe injury to family members. Again, it's the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. Bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Tonight we're going to finish it in big, big style. Before we get to that, just a reminder, get the T-shirts and the hats, LamontBrands.com. All the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation for pediatric cancer scholarships, awareness, and our continued fight and support of that. Now, as you know, we have burning topics, and we have a lot of collaboration. It may not be like Jagger and Richards or Lennon and McCartney, but we do have a lot of great collaboration with Cactus Records and Cactus Music Store. Now, before I get to my guest, who is the owner, Quinn Bishop, one thing for full disclosure, I was going to Cactus before we ever did anything together on these shows. So I just want you to know how much I have always loved going into this record store. Quinn, thank you so much. Happy Labor Day to you.
Hey, happy Labor Day to you. It is great to be with you, Glenn.
All right, so let's have some fun here. Right now, what's on your turntable at home? Vinyl.
Oh, man, I have been listening to that Sparks collection, the soundtrack from the film. You know, they're a band that I always kind of love. I always like singles here and there, whatever, like a couple records by them, but they're so all over the place. And I saw that documentary, and it just leveled me. And now I'm kind of working my way through the records. But that documentary soundtrack is really kind of pulls it all together. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So let's give some people some real information about Cactus. You are the owner. He is Quinn Bishop. You know, tell me about how you got into owning Cactus and where it all came from. And maybe, you know, you're just incredible dedication to music. And by the way, this man, this is like a walking encyclopedia of music.
Well, you can either know a little bit about a bunch of different things or a whole lot about one thing. And that's kind of, I'm in the latter category, I guess. Well, you know, Cactus was an unusual entity in that, you know, it's part of that fabric. And there's a few stores around the country. There's Pop Tunes in Memphis. You got some few stores on the East Coast that are, you know, across generational. You know, the roots of our company are in the 40s, a store called the Record Ranch, which is now the 11th on 11th Street here in the Heights, C&D Hardware. That was owned by Pappy Daly, and he distributed records all through the Gulf Coast and was a big record distributor. He's in the Country Music Hall of Fame and discovered George Jones and the Big Bopper and famously passed on Elvis. His sons opened Cactus in 1975, and, you know, as they aged out and their kids didn't really have an interest in the business, those two guys, Bud and Don Daly, were very gracious and allowed myself and the core staff to continue the name and Wildus the brand. And we have kept it running. We're one of those few family-owned independent businesses that's been able to, you know, continue for decades. And we're going to be celebrating our 48th year coming up here pretty soon.
Unbelievable. It's 2110 Portsmouth Street in Houston. Do you ever get tired of me coming in there and just talking to you and bothering you?
No, I look forward to it, you know, and you know me, like, owner on site's a big thing. You know, you come in, I hope that, you know, people try to stay approachable. I mean, I think any independent business that isn't doing that, where the owner is on site and accessible and you can talk to them, they're making a big mistake, because you really want to know the people that are shopping in your store. And, you know, everybody has a story and there's a lot of interesting people. I love it. It's one of the best things about what I do.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people, and I've run into a lot of Houston Dynamo and soccer fans in your store, by the way. So the obvious question to you is what a great link because of the global nature of both music and soccer, football.
I mean, sports fans are music fans that are, you know, and vice versa, and passionate about both. I think, you know, many people are, and it's, you know, I always tell people, you know, we're in the memory business. You know, we, you know, nothing can summon a memory from your past, your childhood, like hearing a song from back in the day. And, you know, great sports moments are associated with music as well. And, you know, it's just how people are wired.
Remember the Pittsburgh Pirates? We are family.
We are family. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, that's funny because I was thinking about that, you know, the great member of the band, Robbie Robertson, and he did a lot of individual stuff. You know, I grew up, my older brother in the same bedroom, you know, and he had these AR speakers and, you know, everything he listened to became my music, you know, Zeppelin, Stones, and the band with Robbie Robertson. So when I saw him pass, you know, it just... I thought for a few minutes, it just took me back to my bedroom when I was a little kid, you know, and my brother spinning these records and sticking the speaker out the window for the neighborhood. And it's just amazing how it brings back stuff.
Yeah. And those old school, you know, AR or JBL or whatever, those big speakers, you could put them in a window and people would hear you.
Oh yeah. The neighbors were not too happy about it late night, but, we're talking to Quinn Bishop. It's Cactus Music, 2110 Portsmouth. Look, I really recommend you going in there. I almost kind of, I call it a museum sometimes when we're talking about Cactus Music because of all the memorabilia there. Maybe take us into some of that, how you collected it all, because it's pretty impressive.
Well, we have a, you know, I mean, we have a, going all the way back to the mid 70s, you know, we have a history of presenting in-store performances and personal appearances. You know, in the 70s and 80s, it was more autographs and less in-store performances. But, you know, people are around, you get them to sign stuff to the store. And we've had some great, you know, photo ops and stuff with people and all that stuff adorning the store. Actually, for what we're doing right now, Glenn, is we are rebranding the store as Houston's Historic Record Shop. And we're going through our archives. There's a lot of stuff that's like, man, why isn't this up? You know, and we're changing out all of the wall decor and everything, and just and we're putting up plaques, historic Houston, because we've got some really neat stuff. You know, the Jester Club, which is was a folk club, which is where Guy Clark and even Lightnin' Hopkins and Townes Van Zandt and these people played. They had this like kooky sign that was hanging outside the club, and we have that hanging up in the store. So we're really trying to provide a destination for people that come to Houston that love music and want to see interesting stuff. But yeah, I mean, we've got autographs on the wall from, you know, the Police and Thin Lizzy and the Ramones and, you know, everybody in the 70s all the way through, you know, people that just wander in and that are big stars that are shopping.
Gwyn Bishop of Cactus, obviously the pandemic shut your live performances down, but you know, people in Houston could drive by your store and see lines outside, you know, for people, you know, who were lucky enough to get in to see some of these live in-store performances. So talk about, you know, how probably happy you are to be able to do that now again.
Yeah, you know, even though it took the pandemic, you know, knock on whatever around here is seemingly it's a lot safer for people to be out and about. You know, even when things kind of died down and we could have done events, it was just really difficult to convince a touring artist to come meet 200 strangers at a record store. You know, it could derail their whole operation. So we've done some local stuff. We've done a lot of meet and greets with artists that have been really well attended. But now we're really getting back to performances, and we've got a couple coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got Musica, on the 16th at 3 p.m. My good friend, who you got to meet this guy, Glenn, I know you would really dig him, Bob Ruggiero. He's a music writer for Houston Press and has written a bunch. He's interviewed everybody, and he put out this book called The Classic Rock Bob Reader, because his name is, you know, Classic Rock Bob. And, you know, he's interviewed Brian Wilson and, you know, Peter Frampton and Alice Cooper and Ronnie James Dio and Graham Nash, all these people. And it's like a compendium of the juiciest bits from his interviews. And he's going to be doing like an author reading from the book. And then our friends, Alan Oldies band's going to play with the Mighty Orc, who's a tremendous local blues guitar player. And they're going to do a set of music from artists that are featured in the book. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh man, what time do I have to be there to get in the door?
Oh, you can be there at I don't know. We have room for you. We have room for it'll should be a little cozy, but it should be great. And complimentary St. Arnold beverages at these events, so you can show up, have a cool ice cold beer. And you know, the great thing about, like you were saying, at these events, you know, you're surrounded by kindred spirits. You're surrounded by people that love music, that are there because they want to be. It's not like Home Depot, you know, you're going there because you got to get something. I mean, everybody's making this a destination because they love music.
Yeah, like-minded people. I mean, it opens the door. You're talking to all kinds of different really, really cool people. I mean, you know, I've had Jesse Dayton on this show, Eric Johansson now, you know. I mean, what do I have in common with them music-wise? Not a whole lot, except for the fact that I like it. That's about it. These guys are talented, amazing guys. So, it's really a lot of fun. I want to take you back to the 90s, because was the 90s, you know, the 90s vinyl seems to be hard to get. And is that because everybody was moving towards the CD and CD players?
Yeah, and you know, the music industry as a whole, I mean, the manufacturers and the record labels and the distributors, they wanted to get off of LPs and back and onto CDs as quickly as possible, because an LP costs two or three times as much to ship. They're more fragile with regards to heat and breakage, and there was almost no defect. So the industry really wanted CDs time. So they kind of squashed the LP prematurely. But then, you know, I mean, pun intended, I mean, the CD was the shiny new thing, and the industry loved it because it caused people to rebuy a bunch of music they maybe already had in their collection, and convinced them that vinyl was not the preferred format. But man, it is, it certainly is now. And anybody that tells you that they could have predicted that, they're lying to you.
You know, I just love putting the needle on the record. Just tell me a little bit about the resurgence in vinyl. And, you know, I go in there, I see collectors of all ages going through your store and wherever I go. And I just think it's so cool that even the younger generation is just picking up on the uniqueness of a needle to vinyl.
It's so great. I think in one way with the younger buyers, it's a knee-jerk reaction to maybe their older brothers and sisters that were just filling up hard drives with music they were never going to listen to. And the current crop of young music fans are actually looking at it from the standpoint of, yeah, sure, I'm streaming music, I'm downloading music or whatever, but the stuff I really love, like, I have a bookshelf mentality for it, and I want to, right? So you've got kids at the lower end of the age spectrum there, all the way up to people, let's say, of a certain age that, you know, vinyl records is their touchstone and how they got into music, and they're back, baby. They love it. They're reignited by it. So you get everybody in between. And the beautiful thing about that, man, we have customers, you have grandparents shopping with grandkids. You know, it's a very, very cool thing.
So that's part one with Quinn Bishop of Cactus Music. He is a virtual cornucopia of music knowledge. Get over to 2110 Portsmouth. It's cactusmusictx.com on the internet highway. I hang out over there a lot, and it is so much fun. All right, part two is around the corner. Before we hit the break, though, let's talk about Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm are presenting sponsors here, bringing soccer talk to you and this Outside of the Box segment with Quinn Bishop of Cactus Music. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, committed to working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Now, if you get in a car accident, a boat, motorcycle, maritime, it's a nervy time. Few things are worse than severe injury to family members or others. That's when you call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual. John and his firm, the best in personal injury attorneys in Houston, bar none. DaspitLaw.com, DaspitLaw.com, supporting Soccer Matters and the great game of football. Back in a flash. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. And as always, a big thank you to you for tuning in and for also, well, hitting Spotify, Apple, and Google and subscribing to the podcast of this show once it's done live. Now, great soccer watching. Great soccer watching pub. It's Hugh O'Connor's. It's I-10, the Markey Entertainment Center. 18 monitors. They got an extensive whiskey list, extensive beer selection, great burgers, bangers and mash, shepherd's pie, 18 monitors for watching all the best in soccer. It's also the home of the Liverpool supporters group out there. Get out there. It's Hugh O'Connor's I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center. Here's part two with Cactus Music's Quinn Bishop. You know, I like this piece about the vinyl community because I can sense that you and Tomas downtown at his vinyl store. Why am I blanking on the name of his store?
Sig's Lagoon.
Yeah, Sig's Lagoon, and then your friend at Vinyl Edge, and it really seems like you guys are collaborative and really supportive of each other because of the uniqueness of the business that you're in.
Yeah, it really was. It's, you know, we didn't used to be such a. I mean, we didn't have the mass appeal. We were really kind of in the. Not the shag cart. I mean, we're at the model train store, but it was definitely a niche. People that liked it, understood it, and dug it, but it wasn't necessarily a mainstream thing. And now, you know, with vinyl record culture really just catching fire, but we've all, you know, the three of us and actually the other store owners around town, we've all had kind of a similar experience. And I think we love what we do. And, you know, our love of music is a motivator. And that's, again, that kindred spirit, that common bond, common experience. We have that. And they're old friends. And I love it that they're here.
With Bishop, 2110 Portsmouth, Houston. It's Cactus Music. You know, I'm the kind of the same way because, you know, my lens goes through a lot of eras where soccer was trying to grab its roots in the United States. It wasn't in the suburbs. Initially, it was around ethnic-based cities, and we've seen this remarkable growth. And the same thing through your lens, but, you know, how much of this was just purely music passion-driven, you know? And ultimately, you have a family. I mean, you got to make money. You got to make right. a living. You know, you got to support people. But, you know, just how much is passion-driven?
Certainly, I think it's a big part of it for all of us. But we're all delighted that you know, record. It's a wonderful time for record stores all over the country. But yeah, certainly, if it wasn't profitable or wasn't you know, paying for, you know, kids' clothes and stuff like that, we wouldn't be doing it. But it's better than it has been. But
it can't be an easy business, though. I guess that's what I'm kind of digging a little deeper.
Gotcha.
It can't be easy. I mean,
it is remarkably nuanced, and it is a game. Always plenty of sports analogies out there, but here's another one for you. It is a game of adjustments. You are constantly adjusting what you're doing to, you know, what is happening with, you know, with regards to, like, in the U.S., we had this crazy, crazy situation. There was already supply chain issues before the pandemic, you know? And so we had to adapt. We sourced a bunch of stuff from the EU and Great Britain. And that was like our primary supplier for 3 years. And now things are kind of back online. It's all going well, but boy, you got to just, it's like, you're in a maze and you just got to keep, you got to make a left turn. You got to make a right turn. You know, you're always trying to build a better mousetrap. And polish up what you're doing to meet the adversity that you have. And that's really the most difficult thing, but it's a good life lesson, and it teaches you how to do other things better.
Yeah. Changing your tactical approach, just like in a soccer game, it's no difference. I guess in business, we're talking to Quinn Bishop, Cactus Music, 2110 Portsmouth in Houston. Please get over there. You will not regret it. You know, there was a young guy, and he was looking at a Stones album, and you and I are big Rolling Stones fans, and he was in there, and I could tell he was kind of questioning it. Anyway, I went over to him, and I started telling him a little bit about some of the tracks, and this was one of the great albums. You know, I started dropping some stuff, and he kind of looked at me astonished, like, man, this guy knows a little bit. Anyway, I helped him buy that record, so I was very happy, and I know that he went and listened to it and loves it.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I mean, you can shop online and see relevant, if you like, stuff about other stuff. But to have an enthusiastic recommendation from someone standing next to you in a record store, that'd be a positive one. It might be like, hey, are you familiar with this record? You're not? Okay. That needs to be the last record you buy by that artist. Buy this one instead. You know, there's – and I see it all the time. Strangers – you know, helping each other curate their collections. It's a beautiful thing. It's cool.
What album do you think I talked them into buying? I'm just wondering if you know.
Well, I mean, you're talking 60 years of record making. So, but I'm going to bet, we were talking about it earlier before we jumped on this call. There's the four records that are the, you know, the gravy boat, the body of work, the icing on the gravy, if you will, is Beggar's Banquet through Exile. It's probably one of those four.
You nailed it. It's Sticky Fingers. Before we got on the show, for full disclosure, I was showing Quinn a napkin that I got signed by the legendary Rolling Stones guitarist, Mick Taylor, at the Troubadour. So it's kind of funny that we led into Sticky Fingers, where he was so instrumental in their sound. We're talking to Quinn Bishop, Cactus Music. All right. As we look out into the future, what do you see in the record industry and the vinyl industry?
Well, I think it's going to continue to grow. Like, we're not going to keep everybody. I mean, when you have this many young record buyers coming, getting into it, you know, you're not going to keep everybody. Some people are going to decide it's not for them and they're really streaming guys or whatever. That will happen. But for a lot of people, I think we're really engaging a younger listenership that is going to sustain record stores for decades to come. In immediate future, it's been, and I think a lot of it's coming out of the pandemic, just the short-term thing is there's so many records because people couldn't work or they didn't want to release stuff because it's important for them to release a record when they're touring. You know, usually, Glenn, between July 4th and Labor Day, there's almost no records coming out. But we've just had a great summer with tons of releases because these people got to get stuff out because they're already at work. They're already done with their next record. And so they're releasing this, you know, they're putting out their pandemic records now. But it's going to be a big fall for people that are fans of female artists. You know, you got that big sophomore effort by Olivia Rodrigo. There's another Taylor Swift re-recording of her, one of her biggest records, 1989. Kylie Minogue is back with a brand new record. International.
Name I haven't heard in a while, sensation. Kylie Minogue.
And, you know, Easy on the Eyes, I'll say. And this Dolly Parton rock and roll record is good. I think going to be huge. You know, she's doing with
what a talent she is. What a talent she is. Gosh.
And man, such a beacon of like positivity. Just whether the music or the voice resonates with you at all, she is so uncanny. It seems like she just always knows the right thing to say.
I got her album with Jolene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Quinn, you know, I want to backtrack real quick here to the in-store performances. Give us one great story from somebody that, you know, went on to stardom or it was a really unique night in your place or
we've had a good one.
Cause you've told me some great ones that, and I love these.
There are so many, but, you're saying people that like went on to stardom. I mean, we had, there's those occasional in-stores where they're booked before the record breaks and they're hoping to get something going on. And in the meantime, between scheduling it and the performance, it blows up. And I can think of two. One was Janelle Monáe. That record blew up the week before we had her. We had to lock the doors, you know, she canceled all her press interviews or whatever, played with her amazing band, and she was just absolutely the coolest person in the room. You know, one of those great artists that understands that, you know, she sees her role as trying to make everybody else feel important, including her fans, and she was just so gracious and cool. And then we did Lumineers. Yeah, we had them, same deal. That record blew up the week before we had them at the store, same deal. And that was fun.
You had the great bluesman who I love, Johnny Winter, in there one time, right?
Yeah, and you know, that was a crazy story, Glenn. I'm a big believer in making people tell you no. Like, you can tell me no, but if it's something we have an interest in, I'm just going to ask, and you have to know that I'm going to ask. So for decades, I'd been asking for a Johnny Winter record. Not realizing that he was, you know, a lifelong, you know, opioid addict and unable to do personal appearances. Well, you know, his manager, a couple years before he passed, had managed to wean him off and, you know, get him sober, and which made him a better player, extended his life by some years or whatever. But they were filming a documentary. The guys that did the Rush documentary and had done a couple of other award-winning docs, they were doing this Johnny Winter. So I sent in a request. And they came back with a yes and with a window of dates. I'm like, what is going on here? And the manager reached out to me and he's like, we need – Johnny Winter has not done an in-store in 50 years. And we need footage of him meeting fans for this documentary. And so literally the only in-store meet and greet with his fans in 50 years was at our store.
Unbelievable. Beaumont, Texas, Johnny Winter. Unbelievable. One of my favorites, one of the first concerts I ever went to. Well, Quinn, this is amazing. We're going to do this again on behalf of Soccer Matters and ESPN 97.5. We also appreciate your support of soccer and our show. So thank you for that. It's been a lot of fun doing this with you. And you know, I learn something every time I talk to you.
Well, me too. Thank you. And man, it's our pleasure to be involved. And we try to elevate all things Houston. And, you know, Glenn, it was easy. This is what we do when you come into the store. So, you know.
Pretty much easy. Yeah, maybe we need. Yeah, it's so much fun to talk. And these stories that you tell are just amazing. And you got so many of them. He's Quinn Bishop. It's Cactus Music, 2110 Portsmouth in Houston. Get down there. Vinyl CDs. It's like going into a museum. Incredible T-shirts, including the one I'm wearing right now. The guys in New Order had this on at the New Order concert. Yeah, the one I'm wearing right now. I mean, if you're listening in tonight, you won't see it. But if you look at some of the stuff we put out with Quinn, you'll see the T-shirt. They got really cool stuff. Quinn, thank you so much, and happy Labor Day weekend to you.
Right back at you, Glenn. My pleasure.
All right, Quinn Bishop Cactus, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thanks to Brian McDonald, Guillermo Lazo Romero, producing and pulling all the sound for tonight's show. And remember, next week we'll be back on Tuesday. We just had to move this one for another specific reason. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Subscribe at Spotify, Apple, and Google. And until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters. Yeah.